Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So it's a quickie you want, is it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's make this quick. I've got places to be.
I've got so many places to be. But all right, if you want it, let's do it. Zane's like, I feel like we need to stop making these so innuennoy.
If you want it, come on, let's do it. Fine. I like the attitude.
I'm so enthusiastic. Let's go.
It's a questions-themed mini-sode. You send your questions to me, Tom, and my co-host, Elizabeth, and we try and deal with them. Sometimes we crush it.
Yeah, sometimes we knock it. I was trying to think of some sports. I was like, slam it out of the ballpark. Knock it into the hoop.
We accelerate that ball towards the goal.
We do the sports ball thing and it goes in the place where it's meant to be.
And sometimes we don't do the sport. Sometimes the race isn't finished and we don't do good things. But
no,
we try.
No.
Elizabeth, I've never had to make a long distance relationship work. I've never been in one.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have and if you have any tips as to how to do it, how to make
it,
how to work.
Communication.
Okay, then how to not do it then?
Communication is key, especially if you both have different love languages. Like if your love language is words of affirmation and your partner is very busy and never sends you a thinking about you text or a, you know, love you or how's it going or morning or I don't hate you today, your mind's going to be going a little bit insane. Similarly, if it's physical touch, it's going to be a real difficult time for you.
Yes.
Communication. Absolutely communication.
And I think even getting there, you both have to be fully committed to the one. It can't be one of you convincing the other that this, no, it'll work long distance, right? Mm. You both have to be sort of in agreement.
There's a podcast that actually has a really good episode on this. I believe, I always get these around the wrong way, but I want to say tiny leaps, big changes. Sometimes I say big leaps, tiny changes.
Yep.
I don't know. But tiny leaps, big changes actually has a really good, and these episodes are only about 10 minutes long, on tips on how to make a long distance relationship work. Basically, this podcast just talks about tiny little tweaks you can make in your life to be more effective at being a human. I don't remember what the advice was, but I do remember it being very good at the time.
Yeah, you have to do different sort of rewiring of your brain. You have to, because it's not just being in a relationship that you're in the same room with all the time, and you
and
constantly
sometimes
get to see that too.
It can be not an out of sight, out of mind, as in they're going to cheat on you, but it just you get so involved in the life that you're living that you forget. And if you're codependent, that can be a problem. Or sometimes you're too forthcoming and contacting. You need to give people space to breathe. You've got to just set your boundaries before the long distance thing happens. So, you know, one of the big things that we did is we're like, we have to talk on the phone, not just text, talk on the phone once a week at the bare minimum. Like if we haven't, we need to, and we would set time aside for that. So it'd be like, cool, 6 o'clock Friday, you and me, it's a phone date.
I'm guessing you would also be doing a fair bit of having your own separate life away from you, like understanding you are separate. Go and live that separate life.
Yeah.
And so you're not constantly hanging out.
Where are you going?
What
are you doing? Yeah. You know, absolutely.
So when you do communicate, when you do talk on the phone or FaceTime or whatever it is, you have things to talk about. You have things to connect over. You have those things. So it's not just a constant, so you're not just dragging the relationship along behind you. You do have to, it does have to be maintained a bit. I don't have many pieces of advice. Elizabeth does, but
don't do it. That's my advice. If you can avoid it at all, avoid it.
I seem to be leaning that way as well, but some people can't help it. Some people are torn apart pulled apart for different reasons, work, whatever, they can't help it. So if you are currently doing it or have successfully done it before,
please
let us know. There'll be readers out on the planet that'll want some help, want some tips on how to not just have a long distance relationship, but to maintain it. It's not just having the thing; it's actively helping it. So please let us know.
So, I have a question that was posted in our Ghosts of Boyfriends Past group therapy group, yes. Which we haven't plugged in a little while.
No,
so
that's
I thought
on Facebook, everybody. So pop along there.
It's getting some. It's kind of runs itself now. People yes. post little questions, bits and bobs here and there, ask questions, and we get the hive mind, not just Tom and I responding. Yes. But I thought I'd chat about it on here because I was pretty proud of my answer, and then I talked to my psychologist mum, and she's like, "That's exactly the advice I would have given." So I thought somebody else would want to hear this advice.
Fantastic.
So the question, I don't know why they were nervous in asking it because it's a very important question. I'm not going to say who it's from because join the group if you want to find out, whatever. It says, "Good morning, peoples. I'm extremely nervous about asking my question for fear of being shot down. I don't know how anyone would shoot anyone down over this question. However, I'd like to know other people's opinions on the subject. Do you think, and I think Zane might be able to help us here as well, do you think that being raised by a toxic narcissistic parent plays a role in your choice of partners that you choose?" And this person then says, I married my mother, basically.
Right, okay.
And I said, I was like, well, yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
I'm sure
it has it would inevitably have a bearing on it. But I don't know. I can't speak from experience. So anyone else that wants to pop up?
I'm interested in why you think
I just thought it was an interesting topic yeah. that you'd be able to help with the psychological. But anyway, look, yeah. I just basically said that our understanding, like the way that we love
What's the question again? Sorry.
Do you think that being raised by a toxic narcissistic parent plays a role in the types of partners you choose? And I wasn't asking you because I think you have a toxic and narcissistic parent.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. No. I hope I didn't come off like that.
No, absolutely not. No, I just usually have wise opinions on psychological questions that are on this podcast, but like our understanding of love often comes from what has been modeled for us, and even if that's negative, people find a weird comfort in familiarity. Like it's you seek out what you know. And also, as Mum said when I was talking to her about this, if you're used to being treated like shit, you're more likely to put up with being treated like shit. But yeah, it's and I think once you notice those patterns, though, like once you notice what the pattern is, once you notice what you're doing, then it's a lot easier to identify and avoid.
Yeah, I think, and again, it does kind of come down to like at what stage in your unlearning of the things that you need to unlearn from your childhood you are. Because if you're getting married like right out of high school when your parents' influence on you is still at its like greatest peak into like sending you into the world, you're probably going to make choices very heavily based on what their input and what their direction is for you. And you probably haven't unlearned a lot of the toxic behaviors that you've been raised with.
Like you might have a role, like sometimes when you have a narcissistic parent, you know, the responses to trauma are fight, flight, freeze, or there's actually a fourth one, fawn. And this quite often happens with toxic narcissistic parents is rather than freezing or running away or fighting, you fawn over the person, you end up going overboard to make them happy and going overboard. So you're already used to trying to do everything you have and everything you can to get the approval of someone who's never going to give it to you. So that can be the behavior that will continue on into your relationship, I think.
Yeah, I think if you're asking this question though, whoever is asking this question, I think you're on the track to making decisions that kind of are breaking down the influence or the negative influence that your parents have on you. Because being raised by a narcissist, you can at an early age become aware of those tendencies and the bad effect that it's having on you. And so you can come out of the gate fairly early to working against that. And that's not always the healthiest thing either. But I think, if you're asking these questions and you're aware of
self-awareness is key.
The influences that of what has made you and where you're going and what you want, then that's how you break it down. Like
even thinking about it at all, thinking about where did I get this from, even if you haven't realized that your parents are narcissists, going, where has this come from? And looking inside yourself, doing that self-searching and soul-searching that we're always talking about, like where has this come from? Even asking the question before you find the answer is a super big and important step.
Yeah.
So It can have a bearing. I think it may end up that way. But no, you
sometimes can, it can be the opposite. Sometimes you have a toxic narcissistic parent and you're like absolutely not dating that person, and it could be an incorrect pattern that you're noticing, and it might be your own baggage going, holy shit, I'm not dating at all because look at how awful marriage is, you know.
Yep. Or it could give you the perfect example of what you don't want in life. And
you could have all your shit figured out because you had crap parents. Who knows?
I would like to say, like, having a narcissistic parent who's very toxic and their relationship is bad, their relationship with you is bad, doesn't give you license to be that person or accept that person.
Yes.
You can't go, oh, I'm in a bad relationship because my mother made me.
Mm.
Yeah. That can be the answer, but you have to move beyond that.
Yes.
Introspection.
Can't be full stop on that one there.
Thanks, Zane.
You're welcome.
Yes, we got dragged you into
it. I just
the
wanted to have a discussion about it because I thought it was an important point. Do you have a final question or shall we just leave it there?
I could potentially throw up. I want to fix...
You could potentially throw up?
I've been on the cusp for hours, my dear. Fixing friends with benefits. Because I think a lot... The idea is perfectly fine, mm-hmm. and I think a lot of people ruin the idea of friends by their actions or overthinking or what they do or don't bring to the table. I don't know.
I know how to fix it.
Yeah?
Yeah, and it's the same way that we fix almost every problem on this podcast. Fucking communicate!
Yeah, you can't bring one energy into it but then act
it
another way.
It can work, and it can work well. Zane has pulled the microphone down, so obviously he has something to say.
I would like to say, I think we need to stop shying away from actually commodifying sex.
Yeah.
In friends with benefits relationships, sex is part of what you're doing. It's not like friends and then there's also this other thing. It's part of the relationship.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be friends with benefits. It can just be benefits and goodbye.
Yeah, and so I think you can definitely treat it like... My relationship with you is sex. Thank you, and that is all.
Yeah.
But again, with each, and then your relationship with me is sex. And what can I do to make that better?
Yeah. You just communicate. If what you are looking for is just sex, you need to go, hi, my name is whatever your name is. All I am looking for is just sex. Can you do that for me? Yes or no? It's almost like you're appointing someone to the position of sex person in your life. Yep. You've got to do the interviews and figure out if they're willing to give you what you want. If what you want is like, a friends with benefits, so you want to be able to have sex, high five, and then play some Mario Kart after, like, that's, have the chat, be like, what do we do? Do we spoon? Do we cuddle? Do we kiss? Do we hold hands? Do we play games afterwards? Do we go to brunch, or do you feel like that's a date, you know?
So there has to be conversation. There has to be communication. It can't be a thing that you just fall into and then months go by, because emotions will change, needs will change. If you haven't put any rules on sleeping over or do you cuddle? Do you hold hands when you're out and about?
Yeah. Even the act of sharing a meal together before or after sex can be like, oh God, that person's caught feelings for me.
Mm.
And mayhaps they have, but if they haven't, like, and you've gone, hey, we're normal people, you know. And as somebody that I was chatting to recently said, they were just like, well, I don't want to be an asshole about just having sex with someone and leaving. So, you know, why can't I have dinner with them or lunch with them? I'm like, you absolutely can. You just need to communicate that that's part of the relationship. That it doesn't mean anything. Just like, yeah, I'd really love to be friends with you. And my view of friendship is that we can hang out, that we can have meals together, that we can sometimes game together, that we can go bowling, and occasionally we'll have sex.
Yeah, so the idea of friends with benefits, I think, has always been treated quite casually by the common man. It's
a casual thing. Sex.
Yeah, but that's how it's branded, but it is a relationship, and like all relationships, it still needs work and attention and
all
communication.
All relationships need boundaries.
So it's not a thing you can just sort of fob off on and go, it's casual sex.
And if you're the type of person who's just going fucking someone and leaving and not telling them what your intentions are or not talking about what they are to you, then that's a bit shitty. Like, you don't know, if they're not aware of all of the information of what you want out of their relationship, how can they make an informed decision about whether they want to let you have sex with them?
I agree with you, Liz.
Great.
Very good.
End of story. End of episode.
And
we are done.
And end of quickie.
Yeah.
Thank you all for popping in.
It's a little bit longer than I was expecting. I got shit to do.
For a quick little chat. So we're going to have to ask you to leave if you don't mind.
Well,
yeah,
please, can you just grab your clothes and go? I've got to get up really early in the morning, guys. If you can please throw us a review somewhere, that'd be great. Or share the podcast.
Yes, I would love that for Christmas.
That would be just the best gift.
A lovely
little gift. Even know if this will air before Christmas, but if it does, Christmas present. If it doesn't, belated Christmas present, New Year's present. Just give us the gift of any present at any time. It's a surprise gift. But yeah, like, I need you to go. My flatmate's going to be coming home soon. So,
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. The Ancient and Esoteric Order of the Jackalope is a secret society devoted to unearthing and sharing this forgotten knowledge. Each episode, we take one of these strange stories and share it with you. No topic is off limits, except for the obvious. Available wherever fine podcasts are sold.